When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Crowder to short. Arcia's got it. They did it. Despite all the adversity, all the twists and turns, the Braves battle their way back into the playoffs for a seventh straight season.
That was Brandon Gaudin on the call of a Braves victory. They just needed one as they beat the Mets in part two of their doubleheader, 3-0. So good morning. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia studios. Mike Botiff hanging out here with you on what, if you missed it, was just described as a roller coaster of emotions for Atlanta sports fans over this weekend.
Yeah, I think that's the as I've been a Braves fan, that's the wildest postseason run I've seen as far as, you know, pennant chase to get in the playoffs. That's the best, the craziest, the one that was earned. They're all earned, but I don't know how you earn one more from the front office and in the manager, and even from the managers and the coaches than that one. Because I mean, the two games were a microcosm of the Braves season.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way too.
You got an amazing start from a kid, Spencer Schwellenbach. What he did yesterday is not going to be talked about to the level that it deserves. What he's done against the Mets, who are a playoff team as well, this season. He's thrown 21 innings this season and allowed two runs against a playoff team, and he is a rookie who was in A-ball when spring training started. But you got to give it up, too, to one of the craziest Major League Baseball stories that we've seen in the last 20 years, which is Grant Holmes.
Yeah, I know, dude. Oh, and you know what? To your point, I'll jump in just a little bit. I think it's really important to keep the perspective on both of those guys and what they did yesterday, but how completely opposite their stories are, right? You got a guy in Grant Holmes who spent, what, 10 years in the minor leagues building up to that? You got a guy in Spencer Schwellenbach who started this year at low A ball and fights his way through that and is able to get those things done. I thought Grant Holmes was absolutely unbelievable yesterday. And, in the role that he needed to play, and a guy that just literally had pitched 24 hours before And Chris Sale with the back spasms is just an absolute gut-wrenching thing when it comes to the Braves and their playoffs hopes. I it's funny, man, because you talked about the Bama-Georgia game on Saturday, and I didn't think, honestly, that I'd see anything that back and forth with all that what felt like on the line. And there I am watching a baseball game that I felt like was the exact same way yesterday in game one, man. So hats off, really, to everybody involved. And the Mets got it done. You can't give enough credit to their bats and everything else, but they get it done. And the Braves were able to fight back in game two and secure their spot as well and hopped on that plane and headed out to California.
Anything's possible. Let's take a listen to Snit.
It's awesome. I mean, I didn't. I mean, when we were kind of, I told Witt one day, I was like, we're running out of you rejects to play, you know? So that's awesome. Like I said, I'm really happy for the guys. They put so much into this on a daily basis and, their families and everything. So it's a special time when you get to go because you never know. You know what? We're in. Anything can happen now.
You know the one thing that Spencer Schwellenbach and Grant Holmes have in common is
they both started games yesterday.
Well, that's yes, they play for the Braves and they pitch. They're both unflappable. I thought Grant Holmes, you're 28, 29 years old. You've been in the minors your whole life. This is you've stayed on this team. And about an hour before the game, or 30 minutes, or 45 minutes before, because there's only 45 minutes in between this game, somebody walks up to you and says, by the way,
ding,
here's the ball. Just give us everything you got. And he had pitched yesterday, Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. And he went out there and threw four innings, and when he got in a fit, I thought, I don't know if he can get, we were texting back and forth,
yeah.
And I said, I don't know if he's, I didn't think you're going to get more than that. And I said, four innings here and three innings there and an inning there, and you just didn't know what you're going to get. But let's go to game one real quick. What did you say to me yesterday? You asked a question about one of the leaders of this Braves, and are we asking too much?
Yeah, I wondered if we could take some of the pressure off of Ozzie's bat by not batting him second in the lineup and sliding that down.
And what did I tell you? I was a jerk about it.
I don't remember, to be honest.
I said, no, absolutely not. You're a leader on this team, and we need him to step up as one of the few guys we have left.
Okay.
And guess what he did?
He had a good day.
He stepped up, Mike.
Yeah.
That first game, he was unbelievable. He went two for three with two walks and five RBIs and a home run in the first game. And honestly, He won you the game in the eighth inning. You just couldn't hold on to it.
Well, and more importantly, he had a hit in the second game. It resulted in him scoring a run and doing a number of other things. So, yeah, it's crazy to watch, man. And it just, like you said earlier, I think it's a microcosm of what the Braves have been this year. They've been gritty. They've been a team that's kind of dug deep at certain times. And it's just funny to me that you win the last game of the season with the whole season on the line, and you win it 3-0. And if that is not a Brave stat line from 2024, I don't know what is. Getting a good starting performance from a guy that you didn't even know at the beginning of the season and winning 3-0 off just a gritty performance from a bunch of guys that weren't on this team at the beginning of the season. It's just crazy.
Can they carry this momentum now?
Yeah,
that's a great question.
And I don't know if they're really – other than the fact that they're 7-3 in their last 10, yeah. I'm not sure what momentum is there. Had they beat the Mets in game one, I think that is a question that I can answer easily. But I don't know if there is momentum. I'll say this. I rarely watch the ESPN broadcast when the Bally sports are available. And Bally did both games yesterday. I think C.J. Nikowski was – oh, I know C.J. Nikowski was on the call. We'll have him at 8:40 and Brandon gone. But I was doing some stuff, and I just went to the ESPN to check the score of game two. Game two. And I said, I'll just put it back on, and I'll pull it up on ESPN. And Eduardo Perez, who I'm up and down with as far as what I like about him in the booth, said that I think Ozzie had just gotten a hit, Mike. And then somebody else got on, and then it was Ozuna. And maybe it was Harris and Ozzie. And Ozuna comes up, and Eduardo goes, hey, I noticed something in the end of the last inning in the dugout. Eddie Perez went over to Marcell Ozuna and had a very, I wouldn't call it heated, but spirited talk with Marcell Ozuna. And that was as Ozuna was walking up the plate. And Ozuna just rips that ball over the shortstop's head, and they go to Buster Olney. And Buster said, hey, I just talked to Eddie Perez, because Buster's in the dugout.
Yeah.
And Buster's one of my favorite baseball guys.
So good.
Ever. He's an amazing human being, nice guy, and he's really, really good at his job. And he goes, I talked to Eddie Perez, and he just went over to Marcell and said, hey, quit thinking about yourself. Your team needs you. When you hit, we win.
Ooh.
And damned if he didn't wake Marcell Ozuna up, because I thought I thought that was phenomenal coverage by ESPN getting that. And I'm sure we'll find it, because Eddie was asked multiple times after the game last night, including by I think our close friend of the show, Allison Mastrangelo, but it was just great. That is crap you don't get on some teams. That is, and I'm talking about the leadership from the coaches.
Yeah, no, I'd be curious what exactly that Marcell was doing that was about himself, because when he hits, the Braves do win, and I know that that's a guy that obviously wants to hit, and when it gets it done, you saw the frustration from him a couple of times yesterday in game one when he couldn't step up to the plate and deliver. And we've talked about it back and forth that you know, hitting with runners in scoring position has not been a strong suit of this team. And Marcell Ozuna is one of those guys that kind of has to be the catalyst for that. So I'd be curious to know what exactly it was that he saw that he didn't like out of Marcell Ozuna. And obviously just a lack of clutch hitting. So that is pretty cool, man. And, you know, I'm with you. I love Buster Olney and some of that insight. But you look at, and we've asked a number of times about really the leaders of this roster, and Marcell Ozuna and Ozzie Albies, but, you know, really Ozzie hasn't been there as much as Marcell, so it kind of falls back on him as well. It's fun to watch.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mike and I were watching the All 22 of their game against Philadelphia, Tampa's game against Philadelphia.
it's rough.
You know what it looked like? So, you guys both watched Varsity Blues, the movie, right?
Here we go.
Do you remember
clock in.
What's my guy's, what's the, James Vanderbeek's character on that movie? God, what's his name? Moxon. You know, they're winning games, and John Moxon stepped in, and he's just one man leading them to victories. And he goes, we're gonna take Lance, the old quarterback they got in, we're gonna take him to the strip club. And their hot teacher is on the stage, and
stay with us here.
And and she did a 10, and they leave the strip club in this daylight, and they are hungover in that game, and they get just boat raced. And they play Thunderstruck, and they're getting beat. That's what Philadelphia looked like.
Yeah, they did.
They looked like they had went to, was it Mas Venus or whatever that strip club is in Tampa Bay?
I don't know.
They stayed out all night.
I don't know what you're talking about. You won't incriminate me, brother.
And they showed up, right?
I don't want your life. That's all I need from you.
I don't want your life.
Just give me one of those.
Well, it looked like Jalen Hurts and Jalen Carter showed up to Tampa, and Tom Brady walked over to him and said, "Guys, how you guys get a good night's sleep?" And one of them goes, "I don't want your life." They just did not show up at all, Mike. They didn't even look like they gave a damn.
Well, and here's what I say about Philadelphia, and I asked you this, and this is kind of one of the things that came to mind. You ever have those like Sundays where you sleep in a little too much, and you walk out, and the sun is bright, and your eyes are kind of squinty, and it takes you kind of a minute to focus?
Yeah, that was Sunday for me because somebody took me out day drinking.
I don't know about that, but I will say that's what Philadelphia looked like. And I looked at Bo, and I go, is this the first daytime game that they've played? Because that's what it looked like. And you mentioned New Orleans was a 1 o'clock game, but it was indoors, right? So it's a little bit different. I swear the sun was like zapping Philadelphia. And credit to Tampa Bay, though. They did not have that problem. They absolutely took it to Philadelphia in every single way. Their game plan was impeccable. Baker Mayfield getting the ball out of the pocket, not allowing them kind of tee off on some of the interior offensive linemen that have struggled. I thought it was awesome. Liam Cohen has done a nice job with Baker Mayfield. You wondered what would really happen with that offense. And they look good. They're running the ball just enough to kind of make it effective. And Baker Mayfield's getting the ball out, and you run the zone read on the goal line, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
So how do you get ready for the Buccaneers on such a short week when they're coming off of a game like they had against the Eagles? Coach Morris unveils some of the plans or what they need to do when he talked with Dave Archer on the Coach's Show.
You know, I do, but you tend to get them down quicker when you know it's a division opponent, when you know you got what's got to happen next. You know, you start to think about the planning for the Thursday night football game after you finish the guys off, and you get those guys knowing that they got to get ready for it. It's ready, like, hey, let's get right into the training room and make sure we can be the healthier team when it comes Thursday in order to get there to play our best football coming up on Thursday.
Mm. Yeah. Get in that training room. I'm talking about load up with the ice and everything else you need to. And I mentioned this in the post game Sunday, Bo. This is a psychological game. This is a game that's played within the brain, right? Because you're not going to do much on the field. It's not like you're going to go out there and do full speed, full pad, formation recognition as a defense, right? And the Buccaneers do a good job of giving you different looks. They do pull guards, unlike our offense, which is another conversation for another day. And it's going to be interesting to see. You got to watch film, but you have to rest up, man, because it's a short week, and that's the biggest deal is making sure you're healthy.
Okay, well, there's you just my brain when you said something, my brain starts going over here. I wanted to mention the healthy part because he mentioned the training room, but I want to get back to the fact that you've played in these Thursday night games and what preparing for them is like. But you look at we did not practice. But you have to release an injury report because this is almost like a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Right.
And so we had, Troy Anderson would not have practiced yesterday had they had practice, which is fine. They signed Rashawn Evans to the practice squad. A lot of people were freaking out about that, saying, oh, it means Anderson he's bad, bad, bad. And I go, well, he didn't come back in the game. He didn't talk to us, which makes me think he was getting treatment after the game. What I would tell you is that I think on a Thursday night game, there's a good chance he doesn't play. He had a phenomenal game. He had the game of his life Sunday. I think he had like 13, 14, 17 tackles, something
I was
like that.
I think it was 16, if I'm not mistaken.
And
pretty unbelievable.
I'm pretty sure he had 17 tackles.
I know
our buddy
Brian Baldinger put it out yesterday as well.
He had the pick six. 16 tackles, a tackle for loss, a pass defense, and a pick six. But they had, we had four guys that would have been limited or didn't practice. Three limited, Ray, Caleb, and Bijan. Bijan's hamstring, something to watch. I think that's a part of the reason why Tyler Allgeier got more of a workload in the second half. Mm-hmm. But they had a ton of guys, including Mike Evans, William Golston, Kalijah Kansi, who's turned into a pretty good player so far, Antoine Winfield Jr., who might be the second best safety to me in the league, sandwiched in between Justin Simmons and Jesse Bates, you know, because I like to get my guys love. But, you know, even Vita Vea is on there. Would have been limited. Mm. They are banged up. Mm. They are very, very
somebody's being a little too honest down there. Somebody's being a little too honest.
But that being said, even Tristan Wirfs would have been limited. But that being said,
he's a dog too.
I think a lot of those guys that we saw play Sunday for them are going to play Thursday, just like for us. But what goes into the prep for a week like this? Are you now? Normally, the NFL gives you an opponent you know pretty well.
Yeah.
But how do you normally game play? What goes into practice and prep?
Let me go back for a minute and what it actually feels like after a normal game, right? So after a normal game, the thing is you kind of show up the next day, you could do hot and cold tub kind of contrast. Then I would always get on a bike for like 20 minutes, right, and just try to work out the joints. And let me tell you something. Getting on a bike after playing in an NFL game, it hurts. Like, it legitimately, for the first 10 minutes, you're like, dude, this freaking hurts. You got to get your joints moving. That all is just sped up, right? Essentially, what you're doing is you're removing the practice time from everything. You're still doing all the same things you would have done in the build-up to the game, but you're removing the practice time, right? And so that's, you're still going to go in, you're going to contrast, you're going to get on the bike, you're going to get treatment, you're going to go to all your meetings, and then you're going to go to more meetings, right? And you'll probably do walk-through stuff on the field, but you mentioned it. You're just not going to get a lot of that. Tiff, I'm curious. Have you ever done a Thursday game?
Yeah, not sidelining.
Not sidelining a Thursday game.
Okay.
But I've done the coverage leading up to it.
Yeah.
So that was back at NFL Network days. So.
It just kind of accelerates everything. I'm sure on you guys then, too.
Yeah. I mean, you basically what we would do is if you were assigned a Thursday night game, you would get to you might even have a game on Sunday that you were at covering, doing post-game interviews. Then you get on a plane, come back the next day, you're flying to the city in which the game is in. So you're covering that team and trying to get some as much as you get. You know, Tuesday's the off day, but you're basically doing the build-up to it.
Yeah.
And so you kind of hear these things from the guys. It's a short week, quick turnaround, got to get the mind right, the body right, but it's not easy. But it's something that I guess I can ask you, you've grown accustomed to because this is how it's been. There's been Thursday Night Football for a while now.
Well, and
doesn't make it any easier.
Usually you only get one per year, right?
Yes.
And that's kind of the crazy thing is you only get one per year, and it's just a one-off. And honestly, as a player, if I'm being blunt, and you probably feel the same way if you're working like there's such a silver lining because you know you have like a 9-day break after. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, man, if we can just grit this one out. And you do, like, you don't have the practice reps that would normally make you sore in the midweek. So you're kind of looking at it going, dude, if we can just grit through this and get a nice little home win, it'd feel really good getting a few days off after this and kind of getting that elongated, kind of a bonus bye week. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely stinks on that side of it. But, you know, I think it's all about timing. I think it's unfortunately for the Falcons, I feel like they're hitting the Bucs at a terrible time because they're playing at a very, very high level. And it feels like the Falcons, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but they feel like they're just still trying to find an identity even with a win.
You know, I've been thinking a lot of this because after the Tampa just got it handed to them a week ago by Denver. Denver physically assaulted their offensive line. Up front. I mean, they sacked Baker Mayfield like 8 times.
No, I know. I just, you're choosing words. So I was just laughing at you.
I mean, you could have put their defensive line in jail afterwards. It would have been, you'd have been playing that on the street. Now, hear me. Now you go to this, we watch this film, and granted, I thought Tampa's game plan was phenomenal. As far as offensively, because they, Mike, you're right. They got the ball. Baker would do a short roll throw. Right, a short boot, and throw, and I say it would take a couple of steps to the side he wanted to throw, and then just boom, get that ball out super quick. It was immediate too, as soon as he got the snap, or he would turn and throw. Everything was quick, releasing. They did a because Luke, I don't think Luke Gadecki played in that game because he had a concussion the week before, and obviously Tristan Wirfs is a little banged up, so they did a really good job of getting the ball to his hands quickly. But then I watched some of the tackling that Philadelphia did,
it
just
dude.
Looked uninspired football. They played one of the – and Arch and I talked about this, and Arch and I were talking about the game before Sunday, and he goes, dude, that was one of the physically most demanding games I've seen in a long time that Philly and New Orleans played at 1 o'clock last week. This is obviously before, though, 2 weeks ago now. And it looked, Philadelphia played Tampa. Like, we've been on the road 2 weeks in a row. This is our first game in the sun. We played a physically draining game. You're going to get what we give you.
Does it mean more to you than that Tampa took care of business against a team that, yeah, has been struggling in some areas?
No, I mean, I feel like Philadelphia said, if you give us any effort more than 60%, you're going to beat us.
Well, here's what I'll give Tampa credit for this. They didn't match the energy of Philadelphia.
And that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
They kept up their end of the bargain, and they said, I don't care what y'all look like. We're about to go for the throat. I hate to change the topic, but did y'all guys see the reporter in the locker room ask Jamar Chase if he was wearing baby oil? You talk about bad tackling. Jamar Chase was running through tackles the other day. Somebody asked him that. He was like, nah, pause, man. You ain't going to ask me that in the middle of this locker room. He was not having it. He was like, dude, do not even start. Don't even go down that road right now.
Not in this climate right now.
That's exactly what he said.
Not the best question. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. We have a TB's timeout to get to, but first, in the ever-changing landscape of college football, sources are telling ESPN the Big Ten and the SEC are talking possible scheduling partnership. So the Big Ten and SEC athletic directors will discuss a possible partnership in football scheduling, along with their preferences for automatic bids in the next iteration of the college football playoff. This comes from Heather Dinich of ESPN.
Yeah, this is going down the path where the SEC, to me, and the Big Ten are going to try to start pushing their weight around even more than they
Good.
Already have.
Good.
And making this about really a two-conference world. Because in part of what they have in the report is they want four automatic bids that they are potentially are going to try to negotiate. Four automatic bids per conference for the college football playoff, which would put them at eight teams out of a 12-team playoff. You got so that would leave the ACC with one, the Big 12 with one, and then you have the at-large bid with one. And am I missing anybody? Maybe the Pac-12 then will have eight. So you're not leaving a lot of at-larges there. From it, you know, what if the ACC has a couple of teams that are pretty good, right? What if the Big 12 has two or three teams that are pretty good? So those teams are going to automatically just get told, nope, because we got to have eight from the SEC and the Big Ten.
Well, I think the beautiful thing.
I don't like that.
I'm torn on it, to be honest with you, man. These two leagues are the flag bearers right now. Let's just call it what it is, dude. These two leagues right now are the flag bearers for college football. And if we are going to find any sense of normalcy in this sport, in these leagues, it has to come from the brain trust in these two conferences. Do I love the fact that I don't leave a couple slots? No. But tell me why I need more than one slot from the Big 12 right now, right? BYU, Colorado,
I think that's
West
unfair.
Virginia, Utah. Why do I need more than one slot for that?
You don't think – I think – because those teams are playing a Power 5 school or Power 4 now schedules as well. I mean, I thought, Colorado's – got one loss. They looked pretty good last week against UCF. Went and just blitzed them. The problem is you okay? Who all out of the Big Ten this year? I don't think Michigan or USC are playoff teams based on what I've seen. Especially after USC got beat by Michigan, can't score 20 points.
Yeah, they're rough right now for sure.
And they beat USC.
It's not like we're not including the Big 12 or the ACC. They're going to get their shot to win their conference. I don't necessarily like it either. But I think the point is that these two leagues have got to be the ones that are level headed in all this. And if they don't come together on rules, then it becomes a competition amongst them. Right. Then it becomes we don't want to put this rule in place because it might put us at a competitive disadvantage for this other team. And so everything they've got to have nine league games, which that'll be on the SEC. They both got to have the same number of entrants in the college football playoff. And if that's what it takes to get some kind of regulation around NIL and some of the other craziness going on, then so be it.
We should have more details next week, because that is when the in-person meeting is going to take place in Nashville. Multiple sources told that to ESPN. The meeting is a continuation of the Big Ten SEC Joint Advisory Group, which was formed back in February and includes the league's university presidents, chancellors, and athletic directors. All right, let's hit a TB's timeout. Five-ish days in Vegas. I'm sorry I left you all here with the horrible weather that we had. So, of course, again, thoughts going out to everyone that was impacted by the hurricane over the weekend. I was off in Vegas. I left Wednesday of last week and was hunkered down for a couple days there. It's kind of like, what city would you want to not be stuck in for a long period of time? And I would say Vegas, just because of
you're crazy. All the, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There's nothing you can't do in Vegas.
There's nothing you can't do in Vegas.
Always good weather. Do whatever you want.
No, we had it was over 100. It was like 100 degrees. I don't know how that team practices outside, by the way. We did get to go to Raiders practice, as we go to the home team's practice usually when we travel. But I will tell you, we got Brock Bowers in our meeting, which was very entertaining, by the way. And of course, we talked about the dogs because he was going to be able to probably catch some of the game, right? I'm sure they had meetings and things to attend on Saturday. But yeah, he was very excited. I don't know how he feels now in the aftermath of that game, but really pumped about the dogs playing. But also, we got to talk to him just about the transition that he's been able to make in the NFL. And it was really funny to hear him start to say, you know, it's really not that different, except for, I mean, you're going against like older guys, except for, you know, people are like getting really paid to play, except for. So when he broke it down, it actually was a lot different. But he has made his mark already in the league. And so listening to the guys even get to talk about him and with quarterback Gardner Minshew, just telling us how Brock's a guy that just has like an innate learning or innate understanding of football. So for those of you out there really wondering, aside from getting to see him be great on the field, it is as advertised even within that locker room there with the Raiders.
Yeah, I'm a big Brock Bowers fan. I was the day he stepped on. Well, the first time I walked to watch him in Georgia uniform as a non-Georgia fan, he was the best player on the national championship team to me. And the 21 season, not 22, the 21, when he was a freshman, a true freshman. And I don't even think he played high school ball his last year because of the COVID year.
COVID season, yeah.
You know, I'm not comparing these guys because they're absolutely, in every way, shape, or the form, completely different players. But just like I think Ryan Williams is the best player not named Jalen Milroe in Alabama right now. And I think he's separating himself. To me, that's how Brock Bowers was. It was a different position, but he had that impact. He had that type
of
impact.
Yes, he has that type of impact on the team.
And when you want to criticize Carson Beck right now for what he has or hasn't done yet without Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers, just remember that's how good those guys were, and you've got to find new guys. So I think Brock, I can't wait to see Brock Bowers, you know, continue to grow in this league, and I think he'll be talked about in 3 or 4 years like we've talked about Kittle and Kelce over the last few years.
Yeah, it would have been great to see him be more involved over the weekend. I think he just ended it with 2 catches for 19 yards, but again, still making an impact in other ways, obviously being a tight end. But you really thought maybe he would have a bigger game given Devontae Adams was out. By the way, Max Crosby also out for the Raiders. Dang. The first game that he's ever missed in his entire NFL career.
I got a question.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't want to put you in a bad spot. What was the feeling around Devontae Adams? Because there's a lot of talk around that room.
I watched him on the sideline. He gave me a head nod. He was coaching guys up. And a guy like DJ Turner, I think that was his first NFL touchdown that he had, which ended up being the game winner. But Devontae's over there, like, talking to each and every single receiver on that team, sitting in between them. It's like the quarterback's off to the left on the bench. There's Devontae, and then there's the receiving corps. So something else to point out that game, which was really interesting, was getting to catch up with Jameis Winston, who, like, the Browns team could not say enough great things about the leadership that he's brought to that team. So it's been an interesting dynamic.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best.
What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles, plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.